Hi, Western Avenue. This is Mrs. Fowler, and I will be doing the reading for Thursday, April 6th, pages 27 through 42. Stella. Stella says she is sure I will see another real live gorilla someday, and I believe her because she's even older than I am and has eyes like black stars and knows more than I will ever know. Stella is a mountain. Next to her, I am a rock. And Bob is a grain of sand. Every night when the stores close and the moon washes the world with milky light, Stella and I talk. We don't have much in common, but we have enough. We are huge and alone, and we both love yogurt raisins. Stella sometimes tells stories of her childhood, of leafy canopies hidden by mist and the busy songs of flowing water. Unlike me, she recalls every detail of her past. Stella loves the moon with its untroubled smile. I love the feel of the sun on my belly. She says, "It's quite a belly, my friend." And I say, "Thank you, and so is yours." We talk, but not too much. Elephants, like gorillas, do not waste words. Stella used to perform in a large and famous circus, and she still does some of the tricks from our show. During one stunt, Stella stands on her hind legs while Snickers jumps on her head. It's hard to stand on your hind legs when you weigh more than 40 men. If you are a circus elephant and you stand on your hind legs while a dog jumps on your head, you get a treat. If you do not, the claw sticks come swinging. Elephant's hide is thick as bark on an ancient tree, but a claw stick can pierce at it like a leaf. Once Stella saw a trainer hit a bull elephant with a claw stick. A bull is like a silverback, noble, contained, calm like a cobra is calm. When the claw stick caught in the bull's flesh, he tossed the trainer into the air with his tusk. The man flew, Stella said, like an ugly bird. She never saw the bull again. Stella's trunk is a miracle. She can pick up a single peanut with an elegant precision, tickle a passing mouse, tap the shoulder of a dozing keeper. Her trunk is remarkable, but still it can't unlatch the door of the tumble-down domain. Circling Stella's leg are long-ago scars from the chain she wore as a youth. Her bracelets, she calls them. When she worked at the famous circus, Stella had to balance on a pedestal for her most difficult trick. One day, she fell off and injured her foot. When she went lame and lagged behind the other elephants, the circus sold her to Mac. Stella's foot never healed completely. She limps when she walks, and sometimes her foot gets infected when she stands in one place for too long. Last summer, Stella's foot swelled to twice its normal size. She had a fever, and she lay on the damp, cold floor of her domain for 5 days. They were very long days. Even now, I am not sure she's completely better. She never complains, though, so it's hard to know. At the Big Top Mom, no one bothers with iron shackles. A bristly rope tied to a bolt in the floor is all that's required. "They think I'm too old to cause trouble," Stella says. "Old age," she says, "is a powerful disguise." A plan. It's been 2 days since anyone's come to visit. Mac is in a bad mood. He says we're losing money hand over fist. He says he's going to sell the whole lot of us. When Thelma, a blue and yellow macaw, demands, "Kiss me, big boy," for the third time in 10 minutes, Mac throws a soda can at her. Thelma's wings are clipped so that she can't fly, but she can still hop. She leaps aside just in the nick of time. "Pucker up," she says with a shrill whistle. Mac stomps to his office and slams the door shut. I wonder if my visitors have grown tired of me. Maybe if I learn a trick or two, it will help. Humans do seem to enjoy watching me eat. Luckily, I'm always hungry. I am a gifted eater. A silverback must eat 45 pounds of food a day if he wants to stay a silverback. 45 pounds of fruit and leaves and seed and stems and bark and vines and rotten wood. So I enjoy the occasional insect. I'm going to try to eat more. Maybe then we will get more visitors. Tomorrow, I will eat 50 pounds of food. Maybe even 55. That should make Mac happy. Bob. I explain my plan to Bob. Ivan, he says, trust me on this one. The problem is not your appetite. He hops into my chest and licks my chin, checking for leftovers. Bob is a stray, which means he does not have a permanent address. He is so speedy, so wily, that mall workers long ago gave up trying to catch him. Bob can sneak into cracks and crevices like a tackled rat, tracked rat. He lives well off the edges of hot dogs he pulls from the trash. For dessert, he laps up spilled milk and splattered ice cream cones. I try to share my food with Bob. Sorry about that. I tried to share my food with Bob, but he's a picky eater and says he prefers to hunt for himself. Bob is tiny, wiry, and fast like a barking squirrel. He is nut-colored and big-eared. His tail moves like weeds in the wind, spiraling, dancing. Bob's tail makes me dizzy and confused. It has meanings within meanings like human words. I'm always sad, it says. I am happy. I'm sorry. I am sad, it says. I am happy, it says. Beware. I may be tiny, but my teeth are sharp. Gorillas don't have any use for tails. Our feelings are uncomplicated. Our rumps are unadored. Bob used to have 3 brothers and 2 sisters. Humans tossed them out of a trunk on the freeway when they were just a few weeks old. Bob rolled into a ditch. The others did not. His first night on the highway, Bob slept on the icy mud of the ditch. When he woke, he was so cold that his legs would not bend for an hour. The next night, Bob slept under some dirty hay near the big top mall garbage bins. The following night, Bob found the spot in the corner of my domain where the glass is broken. I dreamed that I'd eaten a furry donut, and when I woke in the dark, I discovered a tiny puppy snoring on top of my belly. It had been so long since I felt the comfort of another's warmth that I wasn't sure what to do. Not that I hadn't had visitors. Mac had been in my domain, of course, and many other keepers. I'd seen my share of rats zip past, and the occasional wayward sparrow had fluttered in through my hole in my ceiling. But they never stayed. I didn't move all night for fear of waking Bob. Once I asked why I didn't want a home, why he didn't want a home. Humans, I noticed, seem to be irrationally fond of dogs, and I could see why a puppy would be easier to cuddle with than, say, a gorilla. Wherever is my home, Bob answered. I am a wild beast, my friend, untamed, undaunted. I told Bob he could work in the show like Snickers, the poodle who rides Stella. Bob said Snickers sleeps on a pink pillow in Mac's office. He said she eats foul-smelling meat from a can. He made a face. His lips curled, revealing tiny needles of teeth. Poodles, he said, are parasites. Picasso. Mac gives me a fresh crayon, a yellow one, and 10 pieces of paper. Time to earn your keep, Picasso, he mutters. I wonder who Picasso is. Does he have a tire swing like me? Does he ever eat his crayons? I know I have lost my magic, so I try my very best. I clutch the crayon and think. I scan my domain. What is yellow? A banana. I draw a banana. The paper tears, but only a little. I lean back, and Mac picks up the drawing. Another day, another scribble, he says. One down, 9 to go. What else is yellow? I wonder, scanning my domain. I draw another banana. Then I draw 8 more. 3 visitors. 3 visitors are here. A woman, a boy, a girl. I strut across my domain for them. I dangle from my tire swing. I eat 3 bananas, peels in a row. The boy spits at my window. The girl throws a handful of pebbles. Sometimes I'm glad the glass is there. My visitors return. After the show, the spit pebble children come back. I display my impressive teeth. I splash in my filthy pool. I grunt and hoot. I eat and eat and eat some more. The children pound their pathetic chests. They toss more pebbles. Slimy chimps, I mutter. I throw a meatball at them. Sometimes I wish the glass were not there. Sorry. I'm sorry I called those children slimy chimps. My mother would be ashamed of me.